We'll start with one Iverson, okay? The other Iverson will come in a little bit here. We are glad to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us to come. It's good to be back again. It's been a long time since we've been here, but we are just excited to be here. I know a lot of you don't know us, so Tim and Penny Iverson, and we've been serving with the Christian Missionary Alliance in Taiwan for 32 years. And yeah, isn't that cool? We started so young. I also want to wish you all Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. Today is actually Chinese New Year Day. You know, I'm wearing red in honor of that. So this is probably, you know, I know I've heard people say that you're a little small for this first service. Well, this is probably what our church services looked like in Taiwan with it falling on a Sunday morning as people are with their families. But as I start out, I just want to share just a few things about Taiwan, just to kind of give you a little bit of perspective. So, yep, here we are. So, Taiwan, as you probably know, is an island just off the coast of China. It's not a very big place. We've got Japan to the north, got the Philippines to the south. Taiwan is not very big. In fact, it is only 1/6 the size of the state of Minnesota. Doesn't feel that small when we're there. Actually has a mountain range the whole length of it, so we don't go, you know, east to west, west to east. We go up and around or down and around. Even though Taiwan is a small place compared to Minnesota, we have a lot more people there. So we've got 4 times the population of the state of Minnesota in Taiwan. It is easy to say that no matter where we go, including mountaintops, there are people. And obviously that's part of the reason we're there, to reach people. But with all the people in Taiwan, very few know Jesus. Most people would say that Taiwan is about 3% Christian. We actually think that's probably a generous figure. It might be including a lot. There are places in Taiwan, including one of the places where we have served, where it's probably 0.5% Christian. Very few people, very few churches. And that is why we're there. That's why the Alliance is in Taiwan, to be that presence for Christ in a spiritually dark place. And it is spiritually dark. People worship many different gods, temples everywhere, and they also worship their ancestors, which really has a hold on people's hearts because that's a family thing too. And so Taiwan, I would say, is one of those places in the world that is resistant to the gospel. We have openness, there is freedom of religion, and we can freely share the gospel. There is not antagonism against the church or Christianity, but there's also not responsiveness. There are deep strongholds there. But again, that's why we need to be present. I love being part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and I just also want to say thank you to you for the part that you have in proclaiming His word in this place, but also supporting missions. If you don't know, the way we do it in the Alliance, we have a fund called the Great Commission Fund, and as you give to that, missionaries are sent all around the world and supported, and you can actually give to the Great Commission Fund right through your local church, designating it to that. But I want to thank you for participating in that way, too. I do love being part of this church family, and I saw this quote recently on the Alliance website. The Alliance is committed to extending gospel presence no matter how remote the location, how rugged the terrain, or how resistant the people. We go and we stay until the gospel takes root and bears fruit. And so that's our prayer as we work in Taiwan, that we're going to get to see when the gospel really takes root, when it really begins to spread, when we really begin to see a spiritual awakening. And we ask you to join with us in praying for that as well. Now, as missionaries in Taiwan, and actually missionaries anywhere, you probably know the first thing that you do when you go to a new place is you learn the language and you learn about a new culture. So we did 2 years of Mandarin language study, and we do use Chinese in all of our ministries, but learning the culture takes a lot longer. There's a lot of things that you might understand it, but wow, it's hard to overcome some of your own feelings from your own culture. There's one thing that we have noticed that is always a little hard for us. Whenever there's a big gathering, like a community event, maybe a school graduation or some kind of a holiday where there's a gathering of people, when the main speaker gets up to speak, it's like all chaos. People start talking, they get on their cell phones, they're walking in and out, and it doesn't seem like anyone's listening. And we've experienced that when we do evangelistic things. We'll have big events at Christmas and other times. And just as you're sharing the gospel, it's like, is anyone even there? Is anyone even listening? And it is frustrating to us. But the place where I've seen it, that it is really hard to understand, is at a funeral. Now, Taiwanese funerals are a lot different from American funerals, especially in the countryside where we've spent a lot of time. When a family member passes away, a tent is put up outside the home. It might block a whole lane of traffic, and that tent may be there for maybe a week, sometimes 2 weeks, and it's a time where the family is there the whole time, and just people pop in anytime they want to pay their respects. But then there is an actual funeral service. Let me just look here. This picture you might be wondering about is actually part of a Buddhist funeral. And what those people are doing, the family members would actually be crawling on their hands and knees on the street as a sign of worship and respect to the deceased ancestor. But then they also would have a gathering time inside the tent. And same thing. This funeral service is going on, and you see people talking to one another, getting up, moving around. You see a guy outside the tent on his cell phone doing business, and you think, and some people just pop in for 5 minutes and they get up and leave. And to my Western culture, that feels disrespectful. It's hard to understand. And just a few years ago, someone explained something to me. They said, for the Taiwanese, presence is participation. What does that mean? It means for that grieving family, they don't really care if you're sitting quietly in your seat. You showed up, and that's what matters to them. That's what shows them that you care, that you're with them. Presence is participation. That's not that different for us, is it? I mean, we do the same thing. You know, we try to walk with people when they're going through struggles, and we go to weddings of maybe a young couple that we don't know, but we know their parents. And we just show that we care by showing up. And so presence is a powerful thing. I think that one of the things that sets Christianity apart from other world religions is God's presence with his people. In Exodus 33:14, God says to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." God's presence with his people, that is a powerful thing. That's a powerful promise. And then in the New Testament, we have Jesus coming, God's Son coming to earth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's presence with us. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what kinds of things are going on in your life. Sometimes when we go through struggles, we don't feel God's presence. But remember, it's a promise. He is with you. He never leaves you. But there's another aspect to God's presence. He's present with us, but he also calls us who are Christ followers to be present to a lost and hurting world around us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He's calling us to be present to the people around us. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We walk with people. That's how we display Christ in us. And obviously we use words too, but he asks us to be present to a lost and hurting world. Well, this morning, for my part, I want to share a little bit of what it has looked like for us to be present in Taiwan for the past 3 years. We came back last June, and we will be returning this coming June, so we're back on a one-year home assignment. But I want to share a little bit about what it's looked like for us these last 3 years, and I'm going to call this a tale of two churches. Because we primarily do church planting work, and we actually worked with two churches this last term. One church is a rural church. The other church is a city church. One church I like to say, should never have survived the last 3 years. The other church never should have gotten off the ground. And in all honesty, this has been a messy, messy term for us that we just finished up. But we have seen evidence of God's grace and his power. Tim often has said, as we've been sharing in different churches, about our last term, he will quote Dickens, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." It was by far our worst term in Taiwan as far as the challenges we faced. But in many ways, it was the best because we saw what God did in the midst of our own chaos and things that were not going well. And so I want to share some of the messy stuff today. Not that I want you to focus on that and say, oh man, poor Tim and Penny, they really have had it rough. That's not what I want you to hear. What I hope you're going to hear is how amazing our God is in the midst of everything that goes on. So let me start out with Amazing Grace Church. For those of you that know us, you probably know that we actually moved to the countryside of Taiwan back in 2006 to start a church plant. And that we moved to a place that is one of the least reached parts of Taiwan, like I said, 0.5% Christian maybe, and very resistant because these people are just a bit more traditional in their thinking and really hanging on to the old ways. And so it was a tough place. We knew, our whole mission team knew, that working in the countryside was going to be tougher. We knew it would probably take longer to plant a church. I don't think we had any idea quite how long it would take to plant churches. Thankfully, we have 3 churches now in the countryside in Taiwan. But so we went there, and we did plant a church. We started Amazing Grace Church, small church. Now, one of the things about missionaries, at least with the Alliance, is that we never want to pastor the church long term. As soon as we can, we want to see the local people, in our case, the Taiwanese, leading the church, being the pastors. And then we move on somewhere else and do something else or support in a different way. But we could not get a local pastor to come to Amazing Grace Church. Number one, it's the countryside, and nobody wanted to move to the countryside. Small congregation, poor congregation. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. We had a few candidates, and they didn't work out. Nobody wanted to come. In fact, for 8 years, we prayed for a local pastor. And then finally, we had one. His English name is Amos. He's actually a graduate of our Alliance Bible College in Taiwan. He was our intern first at the church, doing weekend ministry. And so the people knew him. They loved him. So in 2019, summer of 2019, Amos started as the pastor of the church. And we were still there assisting. But we were also preparing to move on to the next step. So after being working alongside Amos for 6 months, we prepared to leave, to move to a new location. So in January of 2020, Tim actually left the church after basically leading this church plant for so many years. I was going to stay on, not living in the community, but making trips back to help out, because that's another thing we do as missionaries. We don't want to leave a small, struggling church. We want to keep on helping it to maturity. So I was going to help with a little bit of stability while Amos was getting going. And so we were preparing to move. That was January of 2020. Mid-February, one day, I got a phone call from Amos at our mission office, and he said, I need to talk to you. Something terrible has happened. So he came over to our mission office. We sat down, and with tears, he shared about how he had had, over the weekend, a moral failure. Long story short, Amos is a single guy. He was living in an upstairs apartment in the church building, and he had allowed a young woman to stay overnight, planning everything to be innocent, but one thing led to another. And so he confessed that to me. Now, I didn't really have to be the one to deal with all the aftermath of that. We have a national church, a Taiwan Alliance church, and so our national church president stepped into that. As you can imagine, Amos was released from that ministry, had resigned that weekend, that following weekend, and the church was devastated. This is a small church, but they love their pastor. Well, we also were struggling with what's our role going to be. This was a mess. Immediately afterwards, some people left the church. They thought, you know, okay, there's just too much happening here. I'm out of here. So a small church got even smaller. But then the story gets worse because, for Amos at least, this woman that he was with, she wanted a long-term relationship with him. That wasn't his intention. And so her desire for him turned to rage, and she accused him of rape. Amos was arrested right outside the church and sent to prison. Went through a long process with the trial, and actually right now he is serving not quite 1 year into a 5-year prison sentence. For what it's worth, we believe Amos that that's not what happened, but that's where Amos is. I am thankful to say he has not left the Lord. He's still, I assume he is serving the Lord even in that place. God's not done with Amos, but the church was crushed. And again, what do we do? Do we keep on moving out? Or does Tim come back in and be the pastor? And we wrestled with that. We prayed over that decision. And our sense was we needed to keep moving. And so we did. We moved an hour and a half south. But I made the trips back to kind of help bring healing in that small, struggling church. It was a tough time. We'd prayed 8 years to get a pastor. Now what were we going to do? I'm not a pastor. You know, I was just trying to help out. And we prayed. And actually, some of our mission teammates said, you know, I think it's time to close this church and just say we're done here. Thankfully, we didn't. But our church, Amazing Grace Church, prayed this prayer from Jeremiah 3:15. We prayed. God's promise. Back then, he said, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. We said, Lord, you promised that back then to Israel. We're asking that promise for us right now. You've got to be the one to provide us with a shepherd at a time that it looks just absolutely impossible. But we have a God that loves the impossible. Amos left mid-February. In May, we got a call from our national church president saying, Would your church consider having a part-time pastor? A couple that was living up in the capital city of Taipei, they had elderly parents that they were trying to help out. They said, maybe we could convince him to come down on the weekends and cover the church ministries. We said, yes, we want to meet them. We're open. And so this couple, James and Eva Chun, made arrangements to come down and meet with us. And from almost the moment they walked into our building, they said, if this church will have us, we're willing to come. We believe God's calling us, not part-time, full-time. And the church unanimously said yes, and so we welcomed James and Eva Chun. And in all honesty, God gives the best. This, by far, is the best pastoral couple, a Taiwanese couple, that we have ever worked with. We just love them. They've become wonderful friends, and they are doing a fantastic job. God brings great blessings out of chaos. Now, I wish I could tell you that everything went smoothly for Amazing Grace Church after that. It didn't. There were two other big blows. One was probably about 9 months after James and Eva had moved to and begun pastoring there. That was when COVID was just ramping up in Taiwan. Mainly in the north, our little town had no cases of COVID, but panic was high. And the church invited a Christian contractor to come and do some work on the building. And he was doing trips back and forth from his home up north. He contracted COVID, didn't realize it at first, but was eventually hospitalized and died. The church did everything that they needed to do. We shut down services. Pastor James went into quarantine for, you know, for a couple weeks. He was the only one who had actually been with the contractor. But in a very small town, news travels fast. And like I say, panic was high. And we were the COVID church. I'm sure people walked way to the other side of the street to get away from the church. If they met church members, they said, shouldn't you be at home in quarantine? I mean, it was just awful. Not for our church members, but for the people that we were reaching out to and the children that were coming into our church for special events and things like that. Everything just went down to zero for quite a while. And I know everyone here has faced a lot of the COVID issues too. But thankfully, we did get past that. And the kids began coming back. The parents began letting them come back. And then just a little over a year ago, the third blow to the church was from a church member who had always been a difficult church member. And again, this story could be played out in probably almost any church. But she got angry about something, and she left the church. But what she did was she went all through our little community spreading lies and gossip about the church and about our pastoral couple, and caused damage. Again, not to the church members, but to those we were reaching out to. And I think some have never come back since then after listening to this woman. But God's good. He's in control. And about the time she left, someone else came in, a seeker, and she was just baptized at Christmas time. God has protected this church. It is still small, but our church, this was, I think, on January 1st, this little church is, the spirit there is probably sweeter and stronger and more stable than it's been in a long time. God is moving, even in the midst of chaos. And we are just grateful for what he has done. I like to call Amazing Grace Church the church that Satan tried to kill. I mean, it was just one thing after another. But then it dawned on me, every church is a church that Satan is trying to kill. And he'll use any tactic possible. If one thing doesn't work, it'll be something else and something else. And so, but our God is better. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Now, I said this is a story about a tale of two churches. So the second church, we like to call, in English anyway, Gushing Grace Church. And we wrestled with using that English. We don't use that name in Taiwan. We use the Chinese name Yong'an Tang. But that's hard for people to remember. And Gushing Grace is a literal translation of that Chinese. It sounds kind of hillbilly. That's why we sort of Gushing Grace. But anyway, it is a literal translation of the words. And that word gushing is the word in Chinese in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites are in the wilderness and Moses strikes the rock and the water gushes out. And so that's what it is, Gushing Grace. Our mission team had been researching, where do we do our next church plant? It was kind of a long process, and they decided on the sixth largest city, which is the city of Tainan, did not have an alliance church. And we researched, and we found a district of Tainan that was very, very much unreached. There were churches, but for the population, very, very few churches. And so as we researched more, we found a community, a brand new development that was being built. No church. That was going to be the place. So when we left Amazing Grace Church, we moved to Tainan. We were going to help out. Now, the plan was this. We had a young couple in language study, and they were just going to finish up their language study and then go on their home assignment and come back, and they were going to be taking the lead on Gushing Grace Church. And we were going to assist them. You know, we were just going to come alongside. So when we left, actually a little earlier than we had planned Amazing Grace Church, it's like, okay, well, we still want them to take the lead, so we'll be kind of laying the groundwork. We'll begin building relationships, kind of getting to know the community. That was going to be our role, so we thought. God had other plans. About a month and a half after we actually had moved into this new community, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, let me back up before I do that. The one thing I like to say about Gushing Grace Church, this is the one I said is a church that never should have gotten off the ground. If you look at church planting principles, or just use common sense, there are certain things that you should do and shouldn't do, and we knew we did everything wrong, and we knew it, and yet God built that church anyway. And so one of the things I would say is, when you're going to start a new church, you go to where there are people. Do you have that one up there? Yep, that's a view from the house that we moved into. Those buildings you see in the background, that's actually a different community. Our community was all new construction. We were the first completed building complex. There were high-rise apartment buildings, new schools going in, things like this. And we were actually only the third family moving in. We had no neighbors. There were no people. But there was a plan. In fact, the government plan is that within like 10 years, 30,000 people are going to live in this new community, about a rectangle square, and again, no church. So we were getting in on the ground floor. But still, it was an odd place to be. How do you start a church when there's no people around you? And then, about a month and a half after we moved there, we got some very unexpected news. I don't even like to tell this part of the story, but I think it's important for me to share it so you recognize the chaos that we were in. This young family that we were going to be working with, they sent an email quite unexpectedly, and they said, "We've decided we do not want to work with you two." Like, oh. And they had a list of reasons, you know, and believe me, we can appreciate them and their reasons, but it caught us totally off guard. We didn't expect that. But we still believe they were the ones that needed to lead that church plant. And so we said, okay, we will bow out. We want you guys to take the lead. We'll move to a new location. The problem was this. We had just signed a one-year rental contract on our house. We couldn't leave for a year. And so we thought, well, okay, plan is the same. We'll kind of hold the ground for the new church. We'll start building some relationships, but we won't start the church. They'll be the ones to start it. That was the plan. They went on home assignment. We began. But again, what do we do? How do we meet people? Well, one day, we actually had a next-door neighbor. He knew that Tim was a pastor, and he said to him, so have you started a church yet? No. Now, this guy is not a Christian. He said, have you started a prayer center? A prayer center? Where did that come from? Well, no, we hadn't. But we began to think about that, and we thought, that's not a bad idea. So we just hung up a sign, prayer center. Not expecting that people were going to flock to it, but just as a way of declaring who we were, what this place was going to be in the future, and to let any Christians moving in know about it too. And it actually was fairly effective. We did meet some people through that. But eventually, we met three women who had moved into the community. All three were Christians. And the two in green, they're all three Christians, but they were Christians who had been away from church for many, many years. The two in green had married unsaved husbands, and just, you know, they'd grown up in Christian homes but had kind of walked away. The lady in the middle had gone through a messy divorce and deep depression and had not been to church. And so we met these women right in our neighborhood. And after getting to know them, this is like around December of that year, we felt like we need to start something for these women. So here's my second church planting principle. You start with a solid core group and go from there. We had these three ladies, and we really did not know whether or not they'd come. But our sense was that God was saying, start for them. So we did. The first Sunday of January 2021, we began church services at Gushing Grace Church. It was later named. So here's my third church planting principle. Environment's important. You want to have people come in to a place that they're going to want to come back to. Well, when we rented this place, we figured it would work out for a new church plant as a building, but there were some issues, and one of those is that there is no door. This is a garage. So when that door is open, it's open. And the other thing is this family that had gone on home assignment, we were storing all their stuff in that first floor, you know, about two-thirds of the building, floor to ceiling, and it was maxed out. But the people came. Thankfully, it looks better than that right now. We had not intended to start a church. We were supposed to be leaving in 6 months, but we sensed God saying, move, and we moved. Those three women came. Others began to come as well. And then 1 month later, we received the news from that young family on home assignment that they were not going to return to Taiwan as Alliance missionaries. They had chosen to stay in the U.S., and they are pastoring a church here instead in another state. So we were staying. That wasn't our plan. That wasn't what we thought would happen. But we stayed on. And yet at the same time that they resigned from the field, God gave us a new couple. This couple, missionary couple, very unique in that they had were born in Taiwan. They still had their Taiwanese citizenship. They didn't need visas. They didn't need language study. They speak fluent Mandarin. They were able to join us in this church plant, and they are the ones leading the church now while we're on home assignment and doing a fantastic job. This was just before we left last June. The church has continued to grow since we've been back. It's growing phenomenally because God is doing great things out of messy situations. Two churches. One church Satan tried to kill. The other one never should have gotten off the ground. But God is good, he's powerful, and he's got this. Whatever your story is here, and I don't know, you know, what's happened in the past, what's happening now, what's happening in the future, but God's got this. I just want to encourage you with a couple more thoughts before Tim comes up. One is this, from John 17, Jesus' prayer for us is this: as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We, all of us, are called to be present in our communities. And 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's a challenge for you, not just for missionaries, not just for pastors, but for every one of us. To live intentionally, to bring his presence, whether it be in our workplaces, our schools, our own families. We're called to be present. And so on this last slide, I just again challenge you to be present to a lost and hurting world, wherever God places you, in whatever ways he asks you to be present. I'm going to ask Tim to come right now. Part two.
Good morning, church. Good morning. How are you doing? Yeah? Need a break? You need to stand for a second? I did. You make me feel at home here. My people in Taiwan don't like to sit in the front rows either. My name is Tim, or as my wife calls me, the other Iverson. But Penny dealt a lot with the past. I want to deal with the present and the future. But before I do that, I want to say one thing real quick. In 2014, Penny and I arrived on the campus of Crown College to be the International Workers in Residence. And we needed to figure out which Alliance Church we were going to go to. And so one Sunday, we came to Living Rock when they were in the high school. And we sat in those theater seats. And after the service, Penny had gone to school with your pastor back in the day. And so she knew him. And we walked down to the front to say hi, and we chatted for a few minutes, and 8 years later, I still remember exactly what he said. While you're at Crown College this year, why don't you make Living Rock your church home? That reminds me of two things. Number one, people want to be wanted. And number two, make the ask. You never get any fruit unless you make the ask. And so we settled in for that year, and we loved that year. We appreciated the preaching and the worship and the fellowship. It was good stuff, and it's really fun to be back. I bring that up because I want to challenge all of you to do that, to remember, people want to be wanted. Make the ask. Invite them to your church. I believe it's a good church. So make that ask. You will be surprised what will happen, what God will do. So, we're dealing with a lot of junk the last term. Penny didn't tell you the half of it. All the conflict that we went through and some physical issues that we faced. There's a lot more to that story of our seventh term, this last term, than Penny shared. So, when we got done last June, we were ready to come back to America. 4 years ago, we bought a house in Rochester, Minnesota. We're ready to just chill. We want to come home, enjoy our house, enjoy our small yard, just relax, process all the junk that we had gone through. A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. But process and just kind of settle down, get ready for tour, have kind of an easy furlough year. And then one night at 11:09 p.m., we heard a crunch. We felt our house shake, and we woke up. We got up to this. I mean, our kitchen was demolished. A car had gone out of control and hit our house. And so we are left to pick up the pieces, literally, and work with insurance adjusters and contractors. That happened August 8th, 5 weeks after we got back. Today, we are very, very, very far from having our house remodeled, to the point we don't know that we'll be able to go back in June, because it's not done yet. And at the pace they're going, we're not sure it's going to be done. So I just mentioned, you know, this was not my plan, but I learned a term in Chinese this last term, shen kei gao ding. A loose translation would be, God's got this, right? God's in control. This isn't my plan. This was obviously God's plan. He allowed it to happen. Why? I don't know. We have had opportunities to share our faith, testify, encourage others through this incident, but the bottom line is we don't know why it happened, but it happened. So this is what we're dealing with, not the kind of home assignment we wanted, but it's obviously part of God's plan. But another thing we're dealing with on home assignment is we have a new granddaughter. We're so excited. For those of you that have grandkids, don't applaud me. It's not my fault. I mean, you know. It's thank you, though. For those of you that have grandkids, you know grandkids are just wonderful, right? They're just very different from your own kids, and you can spoil them and then leave, and parents have to pick up the pieces, so it's fun. It's all good. So that's the other major thing that we're dealing with in the here and now. So then, next June, we are scheduled to go back, but what are we going to go back to? We have no idea. We have no idea. You all know about, is this being live streamed or recorded? You all know about Taiwan's big neighbor to the west and the saber rattling they're doing and the threats they're making. We don't know that we'll be able to go back to Taiwan. Anything could happen between now and June. If we go back to Taiwan, and it is our plan, we don't know where we'll be going back to, because we're not going to go back to Tainan Gushing Grace Church because it's in good hands and they don't need us. We'll move on to the next place. We'll do something. We might be in leadership, maybe more church. We have no idea. So I say that to say, pray for us. Pray for us, because there's a lot of unknowns out there right now. And we just need your prayers. Penny mentioned how some of the bad stuff, and we don't want you to say, oh, poor Iversons. I want you to say that, okay? You can say that. That's fine. Just pray for us, because missionaries go through this kind of junk all the time. But hopefully, we are rock solid in our belief that God's got this. Shen kei gao ding. God is in control, no matter what it looks like. No matter what you're going through, remember that. Please remember that. God's got this. God's got this. So I want to ask the worship team, I guess they're going to come up and lead you in a song. I want to thank you so much for giving us a chance to share this morning, and really appreciate being invited here to just share our stories with you.